All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, we're going to pick up where we began last Wednesday. I'm doing a series throughout the summer when I have opportunities to speak entitled, Give God Time to Work. Give God Time to Work. And we're going to be looking at various examples throughout the Bible of learning to allow God to do His work and not try to do it for Him. You know, sometimes we think we're smarter than God. We know how something should be done, and we're going to go ahead and do it. And then we have to live with all the horrible consequences that come because there were things that we couldn't see that God knew about. And we just decided to do it on our own. I read a poem last time, or a statement that says, when hard times come, be a student, not a victim. Well, victim says, why did this happen to me? A student says, what can I learn from this? A victim complains he is being treated unfairly. A student thanks God he is not being treated as he deserves. A victim tries to get even with those who have hurt him. A student seeks to serve others in the midst of his difficulty. A victim believes the game of life is stacked against him. A student believes God is at work even in the worst situations. And that's a point that we need to emphasize in our own thinking as we approach this, that even in the worst situations, God is at work. I don't see maybe everything that God is doing, but He is working. And you must understand and know that, or you'll get short-sighted in your view, and you immediately go on to plan B, which is always our plan, what we wanted to do all along. And we need to stop quickly before we go to plan B. Because plan B, if it's not God's plan, is the wrong plan. And that is a lesson of life that we need to learn. You know, we rarely control what happens to us. There are so many things. I mentioned last week, we don't control the weather. Beautiful night Thursday. Lightning pouring down on Friday. No games. Played Saturday. All day. No weather. We were able to get in most of our games Monday, beautiful night. Tuesday, the Lord allowed us to get the one game in. Weather came in later. We don't control. Every day was different. And we had heat advisories. I had my phone lit up. Are we going to delay the games because of the heat? No, just bring the extra water because we're going to play ball. You know, we've already got an hour and 20-minute time limit. What else do we need to do, you know? Bathe everybody before they go out on the field? I don't know. But some people are always looking for some kind of an out of some sort. But, you know, we can't control a lot of the things of life. It's out of our control. And that's a real problem for people that are control freaks, right? They want to control everything. And when they can't control it, they just go crazy, all right? Well, guess what? That's life. That's life. We cannot control everything. The majority of the questions that I get asked, either in the ball program or whether it's about something related to school or something of that nature, are things that in the majority of times are things out of our control, and we just have to wait and let God work it out. Just have to let the Lord work it out. I don't know. Just don't know. Well, how come you don't know? Well, I just don't know. We're limited. And that understanding should help temper our unction to go out and do something. We got to do something. No, we don't. We need to let God do His work. That's what we ought to do. You know, the book of Ruth, one of my favorite books. And when I was single, I used to read the book of Ruth a lot. And I did. I read that book more than I knew the verses inside and out. You know, I wanted to be Boaz, and I didn't want to be Mahlon and Chilion. They died, and I wanted to be Boaz, all right? And I prayed for my Ruth to come, and God finally sent my Ruth to me. I had to pray a long time to get her, but I love the book of Ruth to this day. I try to read it several times a year because it is so helpful. The providence of God is written on every 85 verses that are in the book. The providence of God. Him working behind the scenes to bring about things, and then humans on the other side just scrambling around trying to make decisions. What are we going to do? And then you see the orderliness of what God is doing. And if we had just followed His word, we would be in the right place. You see, Elimelech made a decision. There was a famine in the land, and he decided to go to Moab. We're going to pick up the family, we're moving. There's food there. We're going to move the family. The only problem was, is it was in disobedience to what God had told the Israelites. And I want to show you that tonight very quickly. Would you look with me, please, at Deuteronomy chapter 28, first of all. We're going to kind of work around the book of Deuteronomy because there's so many warnings that are given there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 24, I'll read verse 23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Now, what is the Lord saying here? Well, He's been pronouncing curses from the mount. Cursed be they that be in the city, and cursed be thou in the field if they disobeyed God. There's a whole bunch of curses. And then He said, the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. In other words, there would be famine in the land. There would be drought if they disobeyed God. Verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now this was the warning if they disobeyed God. And what happens whenever famine and drought? That was God's warning shot. You're disobeying me. I'm doing what I said I was going to do. Thus the book of Ruth. Ruth takes place during the time of what? The judges. If you look back at the last verse of Judges 21, we read this, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Does that sound like obedience to God? Absolutely not. And there was a famine in the land. God was doing what He said He would do way back in Deuteronomy 28. If they disobeyed Him, the heaven would be as brass and the earth as iron. Can't grow a lot on iron. Can't grow a lot in dust and dryness. That was the promise. Look back at some other verses. Let's go back to chapter 23 of Deuteronomy. Here's what He said about the Ammonites and the Moabites. Verse 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Verse 6, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all the days forever. What is He saying there? You don't seek their peace? Nor their what? Their prosperity. What did they heard back during the time of famine about Moab? There's prosperity there. There's money. There's food. We're out of here, was the response of Elimelech. Was it the right decision? According to Deuteronomy 23, no. Let me give you another one from Deuteronomy, and I'll read this very quickly. Actually, it's from Genesis 26, 1 through 6. This is what the Lord said at that time, back in Genesis 26. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went down to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I will tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed, now listen, unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And then verse 6 says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. In other words, he didn't leave the country. There is no record anywhere in the book of Genesis of Isaac ever leaving the land of Israel. He stayed put just like God said. He obeyed God's word. And what do we find? God blessed Isaac. God blessed Isaac. What a picture we have here of those that obeyed God's command. and those that did not. Elimelech took his family, his wife Naomi, his two boys. They go to Moab, and things are going relatively well. Both of the boys grow up, and they get married. Now, were they supposed to marry the Moabite girls? No, something happened inside the home. Hey, we're going to stay here longer. Some decision had been made after so many years. Hey, this is pretty good here. We're doing really good here. Let's stay in Moab. And then Elimelech dies. And soon after that, we find that Mahlon and Chilion, the two boys, they die. So that all that's left is Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. That's it. And so this whole event that transpires in the book of Ruth begins with a man who decides to go against what God had said in His Word about not going down to the Moabite and the Ammonite and seeking their peace and prosperity, but rather, stay in the land, I will take care of thee. He left, and there were extenuating. You read the first chapter of the book of Ruth, and you find Naomi is a very bitter, bitter woman. She wishes that she had never left the land. What is she going to do now? Well, she decides to go back, and when she goes back, what happens? Things start falling right in line. That's the beauty of the book of Ruth. That was the great lesson for me. When I was single, my best course is to stay in God's will, and God would take care of my wife, provide me with a wife. That was the lesson that I learned from the book of Ruth. Whenever I was 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28, I learned this lesson. Todd, you stay in the center of God's will, and God will take care of the rest. Don't go outside God's plan and think you'll find something. You know, you hear this all the time with that. Well, you just need to move somewhere else, and God will give you that. Well, the Lord had a girl for me outside of Milton. I met her in Milton, all right? And I dated her up in South Carolina, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, writing letters galore. But you know what? The lesson of Ruth was what helped me. Do what God says in His Word. Don't go outside that. If you go outside that, you won't get what God wants for you. My wife and I, in July, will be celebrating our 30th anniversary. I didn't go to my grave a single man. Okay? But the point is this. It takes a lot of time sometimes for God to do His work. Not because He's not able to do it, but it's taken us a while to fit into His program. That's the struggle. It's taken me a while to get into His program. So may God help us to allow God to do His work, but to stay close to His program. You're not smarter than God. None of us in this auditorium, none of us on this earth are smarter than God. Everybody understand that? So I need to let God do His perfect work. Isn't that what He said He would do until the day of Christ? That work which I have started, I will perform unto the day. So I've got to just get in line with Him. That's my job, 24/7. Get in line with Jesus Christ and go wherever He says for me to go, do whatever He says for me to do, and get out of the way and let Him work His work. That's pretty simple to say, but when it comes to doing it, not so simple. Because I have that old heart inside of me that says, I want this done quick. We got to get moving here. And God says, whoa, wait a minute. I've got a greater work I want to do. I've got a greater work I want to do. You just back off and let me do my work. You submit to me in my timing, and I will do what needs to be done. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd help us to grab a hold of some of these wonderful truths from the book of Ruth and from some of these other books that we're going to be looking at of Your Word, which describe for us how easy it is to get off track, to decide, well, we're not going to follow God's Word. We're going to do what we want to do. And then the horrible consequences that come in and the problems that come. And then you have to get back to where we're supposed to be for God to be able to do His work. Father, teach us these wonderful principles that we might live honestly, that we would live humbly before Thee and know Your very best in our daily lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good evening. God bless you.